I'm going to talk about components of forgiveness. That's because, as we've said, forgiveness is an attitude. Everything you learn becomes incorporated into that attitude until forgiveness happens automatically. For most people, especially during the first few years, forgiveness requires that you think about it. You become a master by having forgiving thought processes. These right-minded thoughts eventually dominate your mind instead of the ego. A situation occurs or someone comes along whom you need to forgive, and following the lead of the workbook, you've learned to have right-minded thoughts about the person or situation. Using your understanding of the course's entire thought system, including the text and the manual, contributes to and strengthens your attitude of forgiveness. These forgiveness thoughts of yours won't usually be linear. Everyone has certain ideas that work best for them. It helps tremendously that the course is holographic in nature, each thought being related to all the others. In fact, you could say that like a hologram, the whole of the course's thought system is found in all of its sections, or that each part contains the whole. I'm going to give you a few of the course's ideas that will be especially helpful in building a strong forgiveness attitude. This will free both you and the images you see from the prison they appear to be in. First, let's talk a little bit more about the situation that you're faced with and why the course is not just abstract, but very practical on this level.
One important question, please.
All right, you've been good.
What about people who don't seem to have any fear when they commit horrendous acts? There are people who strap bombs to their bodies and kill themselves along with many other victims, believing that martyrdom will guarantee them a place in heaven. In America, mass killers tend to prefer automatic weapons to blow away dozens of people without batting an eyelash. Either way, these killers are so cold and methodical, like they don't have any fear. Sometimes they're even smiling. What's the difference between that lack of fear and what you're teaching?
Okay, that's a decent question, and the answer can be found in many of the things that we've already told you, because they are all part of the same thought system of love. We've already said that the Course teaches that the direction of the mind cannot help but be determined by the thought system to which it adheres. The thought system of the Holy Spirit is guided by love, and the thought system of the ego is guided by fear and hatred and will always eventually result in some sort of destruction. Suicide bombers and other murderers may appear to be fearless, but their psychotic fear has merely been denied and projected outward. The appearance of peace is not always true inner peace, and it can't be stated too often that the people of the world will never live in peace until they have that inner peace, the inevitable result of true forgiveness. We've also said that what you do is a result of what you think, and that doesn't mean that you're always going to behave perfectly. Indeed, when the Course talks about a teacher of God becoming perfect here, it's referring to perfect forgiveness, not perfect behavior. True peace will come from true forgiveness. And violence, which is the acting out of one's own self-hatred, seen as being outside of oneself, will never come as a result of the thought system of the Holy Spirit, who teaches only love and forgiveness. The metaphysics of the Course are built around the reality of God and the unreality of the separation, and they're essential to know. But forgiveness is where the rubber meets the road. Without forgiveness, metaphysics are useless. That's why we say that this course is practical. In the end, there are really only two things that you can do, as the course teaches. He who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. Your job is to teach forgiveness. We've said the course tells you that to teach is to demonstrate. It also says, I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers. Forgiveness will never result in violence, but judgment will always result in some kind of negative effect on the level of form, even if the effect is just on your own health. Violence is the ultimate and illogical extension of fear, judgment, and anger. The delusional thought system of the ego will always lead to some form of violence and murder eventually because it requires that people see their enemy or their perceived cause of their problem as being outside of them. So do you. But you've found the way out. By reversing the ego's thinking, your fear will be released and not projected. With salvation, There's no one out there to blame for your one real problem, of which all the others are symbolic. The cause, which is the decision to believe in the separation from God, and the solution, which is the principle of the atonement, are both in your mind, where you now have the power to choose the Holy Spirit's answer. Let's examine the components of forgiveness. Learn and remember them well, dear student. If you can remember them when you're confronted by the ego's constant temptations to regard yourself as a body, you'll go into the Forgiveness Hall of Fame. These ideas are the way of salvation and your ticket home, if you get to the point where you can apply them regularly.
I take it that thing about the Forgiveness Hall of Fame is a metaphor, since I'm a baseball fan, huh?
You see? You can already tell the difference between what should be taken literally and what should be taken as a metaphor.
All right. Let's get to it. I'm used to working for nothing, so tell me about the forgiveness gig. You know I'm kidding, right? I know heaven could hardly be called nothing.
Well, that's correct. And you don't have to wait until your experience of enlightenment before you enjoy the benefits of forgiveness. As the Course tells you, a tranquil mind is not a little gift. With that in mind, a component of practicing forgiveness when you're confronted by an opportunity would be to remember that you're dreaming. You authored the dream, and you made the figures in it act out for you, so you could see your unconscious guilt outside of yourself. If you remember you're dreaming, then there's nothing out there but your own projection. And once you believe that, and belief only comes from practice and experience, then there's no need for what you're seeing and now forgiving to have any impact on you. As the Course puts it, the miracle establishes you dream a dream and that its content is not true. This is a crucial step in dealing with illusions. No one is afraid of them when he perceives he made them up. The fear was held in place because he did not see that he was the author of the dream and not a figure in the dream. That quote was from the section of the Course called Reversing Effect and Cause, which also says, the miracle is the first step in giving back to cause the function of causation, not effect.
So now it's my dream, not somebody else's, because there's only one of us. There's not really anybody or anything besides my projection, which I'm now recalling by taking responsibility for it.
Yes. Remember that it doesn't mean that there aren't seemingly separated minds who think that they're really here, but like you, they have to learn the truth in order for the entire mind to be one again. As we say, this will all become part of your attitude, but it's helpful at first to think of it as being made up of different components. Once you're the cause and not the effect, another component of forgiveness would be to forgive both your projected images and yourself for dreaming them. You already know the Course tells you to forgive your brother for what he hasn't done. That would be true forgiveness because, as the Course also says, you're not making the error real. You're not giving truth to your illusions. You're bringing your illusions to the truth. Now it's time to forgive yourself for dreaming this whole mess in the first place. If nothing's happened, and if the Course teaches anything, it's that nothing happened, then you're innocent. Thus, as you forgive your brothers and sisters, your mind realizes simultaneously that you are forgiven. Remember, we've also quoted the Course as saying that as you see him, you will see yourself.
If nobody's there, and if I believe the Course, then what is really out there is Christ. If that's what I choose to see instead of the images my body's eyes show me, then that must be what I am.
Very good. You see, the components of forgiveness all fit together. If the people you see are Christ, then so are you. If you respond with the judgment of the ego and give reality to the dream of others that they too are egos, then that's what you'll think you are. It's true that there's nobody out there. To repeat an important point, the people you see think that they are out there, just like ghosts. And as the Course says, from the section called The Greater Joining, join not your brother's dreams, but join with him. And where you join his son, the Father is. And in the next section, the alternate to dreams of fear, you share no evil dreams if you forgive the dreamer and perceive that he is not the dream he made. And so he cannot be part of yours, from which you both are free.